Welcome to the NEDCO 504 Show. I'm Scott Sailors with Jason Culver and Will Sailors. Let's get started. It is September 28th, 2021. We're so glad you're here. The show today offers our 2020-21 year-end review with a discussion of record-setting loan volume at NEDCO, record-setting loan dollar amounts, a review of businesses we funded during the fiscal year, and recent changes to the NEDCO credit policy as directed by the Board of Directors at our meeting on September 23rd, and a look ahead to 2020-21 fiscal year, what the credit team sees, interest rates, types of loans, and we're excited to hear from the team on those matters there. Again, congratulations to the NEDCO credit team for their record-setting volume during the fiscal year. With us today, we have Head of Credit Jason Culver, Loan Officer and Credit Analyst Will Sailors, and Andrew Schnorr, our newest credit analyst. And as always, our engineer, phone screener, Cody. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Let's get started. Jason, Will, let's talk about the record-setting loan volume at NEDCO for 2020-21, all-time historical record.
Whew, it was a busy year, that's for sure. Saw it basically the entire year. Never hit a slowdown.
No, not a slowdown at all. And it looks to be continuing that way still through the upcoming holiday season here.
Yeah, you know, 2021 kind of coming out from the pandemic a little bit. Certainly not what we saw in 2020 as far as effects on businesses. And, you know, at least locally here, it seemed like it was pretty much business as usual. People were expanding and planning for the future for their businesses.
Mm-hmm. Could you give the listeners, to put everything into perspective, historical loan volume at NEDCO and the loan volume that you experienced in the fiscal year?
Sure. You know, I'd say going back quite a few years, you can see a fairly steady trend of anywhere from 30 to 40 loans on an average year. And then this past fiscal year, the 504 funds actually ran out. And a big part of that is we contributed 77 loans to that.
77.
And if we hadn't run out of funds, we would have been in the 80s, for sure.
Wow. So nearly double.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nearly double.
Doing double the loans.
Wow. Now, could you tell the listeners, we did receive an email about when you say that the SBA ran out of funds, could you guys explain what that means? It was on or about early September. And that, sure, would have been through the end of the month of September, or the end of the federal fiscal year. What does that mean?
Yeah, and I probably shouldn't use the terms ran out of funds, because one of the great things about the 504 program is that it is self-supporting. It's not actual government funds going to these loans, but the government does have to appropriate a certain amount, a certain dollar amount of loans that they're willing to back. Because that's really what it is. They're backing these loans. And so $7.5 billion is the magic number they've come up with. And most years, we don't touch that $7.5 billion. I think we get in the $5 billion range. But this year, you know, we doubled. And a lot of the CDCs across the country, they increase their volume as well. So first part of September, we hit that $7.5 billion cap. And unless Congress passes a resolution to increase it, you're done for the fiscal year. So until October 1st rolls around, they can't approve any additional 504 loans.
Well, so Will, what is the process then? So you have a loan approved by loan committee internally here. Ordinarily, you would send it on to the SBA, to the center for authorization numbers. What happens now when program is out of guarantee money for a period of time?
So we hit that $7.5 billion cap, and what's been happening with normal 504 loans is that we've been able to send them to the SBA, and they still do their normal review process, and then they will send out just a very generic email saying that the review is done. but a loan number and authorization are not issued for this past month. They've been doing that. And then on October 1st, when we get the new $7.5 billion, hopefully, they will send the authorization and that loan number. But although it's still really up in the air because they're supposed to be voting on, I believe it's the to reallocate our $7.5 billion with the new government budget, which I believe is supposed to be voted on this week. And I'm hearing that there's some contentious discussions in Congress about that, and it might not pass, and we'd be looking at a government shutdown.
Yeah, correct. This isn't tied to the SBA. It's nothing that's their fault. But if the government doesn't continue to fund their budget, SBA, national parks, all of it will shut down for a period of time. So, yeah, we do anticipate October 1st being a new fiscal year and getting that $7.5 billion reset back to zero. But you know, if Congress doesn't get things worked out, it might extend for a little bit of time.
We had another email earlier in the week about loan volume and then the 77 loans that the credit team produced. I think the listeners would find it interesting that, speaking of COVID and the pandemic, that this number does not include any hotels for the fiscal year. And historically, NEDCO was a big producer, underwriter of hotels in the state. So this doesn't include any hotels and limited restaurants. Could either of you speak to that?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Most years we're doing several large hotel deals that would skew these numbers even higher than what we were able to achieve without them. But during the fiscal year, we made the decision to pass on hotel deals for the time to kind of give them a chance to get back to business as usual, because we did see, you know, the adverse effects of COVID on the hotel industry, like you said. And so, yeah, the 77 loans were probably in the 80s if they hadn't run out of money, and might have been up into the 90s if we'd have been doing hotel deals.
Yeah, and the hotels were normally a decent part of our business here, but and we did get a lot of calls right when COVID broke out about potentially refinancing hotels and then things like that. But those slowed down pretty quick, right when COVID broke out. And I think for now, the entire banking industry is really just kind of sitting tight on the hotels for now, especially new construction. So we're not getting a whole lot of calls about those anymore. Although with the vaccine rolling out and things like that, you know, it's still up in the air with COVID and how things are going, but it seems to be recovering and dying down at least a little bit. So maybe those will be coming back in the future. But for right now, it just seems that the entire industry is kind of holding off on them for right now and just sitting tight.
Mm-hmm. This is for either Will or Jason. The average size of the projects of your 77, could you speak to the listeners about the size of the projects? Historically, what's the average size been, and what size were we looking at in your latest record-setting production?
Well, our average loan for the 77 loans that we've did, the average loan was about $680,000 to $700,000. And some of those are lower, and then some of those are quite a bit higher. But the average loan amount for NEDCO's portion was about $680,000 to $700,000. So that makes it a pretty big project if NEDCO is, if our $700,000 is only 30% of the project, there's still, you know, another good portion of that to be funded by the bank. So these do turn out to be pretty big projects, all of them.
Mm-hmm. And then were the projects, as far as distribution goes throughout the 93 counties here in Nebraska, how was the distribution this year as far as count each the west and the central and the northeast as far as your projects go?
Yeah, you know, I think it obviously Lincoln and Omaha dominate the list, but if you look at it proportionally by population, it's not skewed too heavily. We've got a good presence out west. You know, we're doing deals in North Platte, Grand Island, up north. some of the counties up there. So no, it's a good distribution. You're not going to see as many of these from some of the smaller counties, but when these projects do come up, we had one out in Scotts Bluff that got approved. So we definitely see deals out from out west as well.
Mm-hmm. And a good mix too now, no hotels. So it's really been, they've been spread out a lot. The 77 deals, a lot of variety in there, medical, auto, retail. It's been a good mix.
That was going to be my next question is, what types of businesses did you see this year, excluding your hotels and most restaurants?
So like Will said, it's hard to get a trend on it. I mean, it is a diverse list. We saw a few used car dealers come in, some dentists as well, car washes, medical. Just a diverse mix. Nurseries and landscapes, we did a few of those as well. They really kind of had a boom during COVID because everybody was stuck at home and looking at their surroundings saying, well, if I'm stuck here, I might as well make it a little better.
We had a listener email in a couple of weeks ago when we let everybody know that we were going to do our show today about Nedco's opinion on convenience stores in the current market. People driving less, they were concerned, the possibility of electric cars. Have you seen any convenience stores lately that you've done?
To be honest, as we're listing all these industries we've been doing, C-stores are one that have not popped up a lot recently. Not as much as we've seen in the past. So, yeah, there definitely could be something to that.
Yeah, no, they're definitely eligible for 504 financing. Those are special use properties, so you'll need a minimum of a 15% down payment on those. But this past year, not a lot of those. And historically, those have been, a bigger piece of Nedco's business, but not this past
year. Not this past year. Looking forward, given these are 20 and 25 year debentures, the proliferation of electric cars and the technology, and Ford and Chrysler are getting to electric cars as underwriters. Would you guys be looking at what impact that would have on the successful, the probability of a convenience store given electric cars?
Well,
how does one account for that, I guess?
I think they're still going to be there, and I think what you'll see moving to the future with electric cars is you'll have hybrid gas stations to where they'll have your regular gas pumps and things like that, but then another eligible expense that I imagine we'll see moving forward with convenience stores like this would be the charging stations, the superchargers, because I'm starting to see some gas stations have them to where you can pull up and charge your electric car there. I don't believe we've seen any of those as an eligible project cost recently, mainly because we haven't been doing a lot of convenience stores, but I would imagine that those would just be like a gas pump and would be eligible for financing as part of the equipment of the convenience store, just like the gas pumps are.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I know they talk about the difficulty of adopting electric cars right now is difficulty finding charging stations outside your home. It's fine if you're just going to work and back every day, you can charge at home. But if you're on a cross-country trip, that infrastructure just isn't there. Mm-hmm. Especially here in Nebraska, we just haven't seen it adopted as fast. So yeah, that could supplement some of the loss of mm-hmm. fuel cells. And, it's probably not so much the fuel cells themselves, because they don't make a whole lot of margin on those. But it's people coming to the C-store, going in and, filling up on the fountain pop and the salty snacks. That's where the margins are. But if you're not stopping there for fuel, then you're not stopping for the snacks.
Mm-hmm. 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 Let's move on and change direction here a little bit. Let's talk interest rates. both current interest rates and as a credit team, what do you see going forward with the NEDCO interest rates on the 10, 20, and 25-year debentures?
Well, they have been floating around down in the mid to upper twos for most of the year. For a while, they might have got down slightly below 2.5, but now they're a little bit up that right now. And moving forward, your guess would be as good as mine. Hopefully, they remain low because it's good for business, but they always could go up. So,
Yeah, and I suppose that ties into the government funding discussion. Word is, if they default on debt, expect interest rates to increase. Government borrowing gets more expensive with that default and a downgrade in there. Mm-hmm. Creditworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Jason, could you speak to the borrowers a little bit about the 10, the 20, and the 25-year debenture? Now, the 25-year debenture is the most prevalent one in the portfolio currently.
Oh, sure.
By far and away.
Yeah.
Now, talk about the fixed interest rate nature of those loans. That's really the amazing thing about the NEDCO program is that these rates are not variable. And there's not a balloon. These are fixed payments. So your first payment and your last payment are the same for 25 years. Can you speak just a little bit to that?
Yeah. You know, you might see a locked rate from a bank. I'd say most of the time I'm only seeing 5 years, maybe 10 years, but that's pretty rare. And when you think, well, where are interest rates going to go? Where they are today, I don't think anybody thinks they're going to go down. In all likelihood, they're going to go up. So in 5 years, when your rate lock ends with the bank, you're going to be looking at what rates are then. And another 5 years down the line after that. So you've got interest rate risk there. With the 504 portion, you're locked in. From the day you close, like you said, your rate is locked in. So we're funding in the just below 3% right now. So a rate below 3% that in 20 years you'll still have. You know what your payment's going to be. So, yeah, it gives you more stability as a business to plan out future expansion and future cash flow because you don't have that variable of what's my rate going to do in 5 years.
And then a lot of questions I get about the interest rate. At NEDCO's website, when it says 2.8%, that is what the rate is. What we advertise is the rate. That has all the fees and ongoing fees built into it. So it's not a trick. It's not 2.8 plus to get you up all of a sudden to like a 3.5. When we advertise like a 2.8, just for example, that is the rate that you will be getting with all of the fees built into it. So it's incredibly low.
Incredibly good deal. So if you, when you're looking at purchasing a building, land, or capital equipment, you're looking at a fixed rate for a 10, 20, or 25-year period at a very low rate with a low down payment. And if you compare this to the other SBA product of 7A, the 504 wins hands down simply because there's a reset on the 7A. And as the credit team was noting, interest rates could easily go up. And go up dramatically, and then your rate on your 7A would go up, and the 504 would not go up. So it's very, very interesting and very good for the borrowers to know. Let's move on to a very important board of directors meeting we had on September 23rd, and there's been a change of the NEDCO credit policy regarding particular industries and how NEDCO, the loan team, will approach that. So maybe Jason can get started, then Will can interject as to why that policy was adopted right after the pandemic by the board of directors. What was the necessity of that, the reasoning behind that, and why the change now? So let's talk about when it happened, and then let's move forward to what, if someone were to call NEDCO today, what would they be told?
Sure. You know, with how much has changed over the past year, it's kind of amazing what a turnaround it's been. But when you go back to the start of the pandemic, there were just certain industries that naturally, not through any fault of their own, were being heavily impacted by this. And hotels are obviously one of the bigger ones, and we can talk about that some more. But, you know, it was other industries as well. Daycares. We do a lot of daycare loans, and through occupancy restrictions, they could only have sometimes as low as 10% occupancy, which just doesn't pay the bills. So daycares were heavily affected. Sit-down restaurants as well. People, even if there weren't restrictions, they were changing their consumer habits. And so, you know, restaurants were on the outs at the time. So that was another industry that we added some extra underwriting criteria for. Youth sports, that was another one. Youth sports events were just canceled at the time. So again, there's another industry where it's like, hey, we need to underwrite these with a little extra care. So, you know, restaurants, breweries, daycares, youth sports and hotels, we added some extra underwriting restrictions on to make sure we were giving them a careful look. And in the case of hotels, we just completely kind of shut that part down.
So no hotels at all for a period of time until...
Yep. But recently, we made a few changes to that policy. Will, you helped help craft that those changes?
Yeah. So now, moving forward, we were doing no hotels, and now we will selectively take a look at a hotel. You know, it would need to be performing well, and obviously, there's going to be a dip down there during COVID, to where clearly any hotel in the country really probably didn't perform well. But now we'd be looking at the current financials to see how that hotel was recovered and how that occupancy has hopefully went back up for them. So now moving forward, we could either look at refinancing a hotel debt or potentially doing a new 504 loan for a hotel. And again, these would be on a case-by-case basis, really depending on how the current financials are doing, what the state of the balance sheet is and how the business is with cash, things like that, and primarily looking at that occupancy to make sure things have recovered for that hotel.
Jason, anything to add there?
Yeah, you know, especially here in the state of Nebraska, last for travel, dead last in the country. More people go to Delaware than visit Nebraska. So we really, we've got a narrow window when you consider our winters where hotels really make the bulk of their sales from May probably through September, maybe a little bit farther into the fall, but that May through September is really the sweet spot for their income. So we wanted to let them get a summer season under their belt so we could actually see, hey, how are they doing? Obviously 2020 gets a bit of a pass, but now that things are starting to come back out and people are traveling more, you know, can they support the debt payments now? Because, you know, if you want to go back to the start of the pandemic, we have a very heavy hotel portfolio and they were naturally calling to defer their payments. And thankfully the CARES Act stepped in and really helped them out with that. So the CARES Act really made a positive impact for a lot of hotels out there to keep them afloat. Otherwise, we might be having a different story right now.
So we may be, the credit team may be looking at some hotels for approval in the near future due to the change. Mm-hmm. Once again, congratulations for your record-setting loan production to the credit team. Let's talk just real briefly about starting the fiscal year 21-22, begins on October 1. The team's is going to be off to a big start. Let's talk about that. Not specifically the type of loans, but the volume that's what we're looking at here in early October, which would appear on the national radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a large number of loans that are teed up, ready to go for the next fiscal year, and we've got some large dollar amounts as well. Two loans in and of themselves will probably hit about the $7 million mark, again, on our portion, not total project size, which would be, you know, even larger than that. So that's just two of the loans we have in the works, and due to the SBA funds reaching their maximum, like we discussed, we've actually already got, I think, 5 loans that are technically approved but won't officially be approved until the next fiscal year. So starting out of the gate, the month hasn't even started, and we know we've got loan approvals ready to go.
Wow. Well, that's just amazing. Well, once again, congratulations to the NEDCO credit team. They can be found at smallbusinessanswershow.com. That's smallbusinessanswershow.com or nedcoloans.org. Nedcoloans.org. Once again, that's Jason Culver, head of credit, Will Saylor's credit analyst, loan officer, and our newest team member, Andrew Schnorr from Wayne State. And maybe we'll take just a second here. Andrew, could you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I started college at Northeast Community College in Norfolk, got an associate's degree, and then transferred to Wayne State once I figured out what I wanted to do, and got a bachelor's degree in finance.
And you worked in a bank there?
Yep, worked at a bank for a couple years before moving to Lincoln, starting here at NEDCO and really getting thrown into the busiest year ever at NEDCO. So
yeah.
I guess I haven't really experienced what a normal year is like. So
yeah. Well, we're glad to have you on board. And that concludes our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of the Nebraska Economic Development Corporation. All rights reserved.